He hated the look of old Russia, and he did everything he could to eradicate it, for the sake, at the very least, of Russia's dignity in the world. He insisted on Western dress for everybody now in the elite. Western wigs had to be worn. He personally cut off those hated Muscovite beards of everybody in court and insisted no one wear them any further. He replaced Muscovite social customs as well with European ones, not only ordering Western dress for everybody at court, but holding altogether new social events, balls, for example, or European-type gatherings that he called assemblées, using the French word, assemblies, at which women were to be included, ending the traditional seclusion of women from public company in Russia. He introduced Western names for things. The very look, the sound of Russia should change. If you walked into Peter the Great's court, you might, the first person you might meet would perhaps be the Obergofmarschall, or perhaps the Oberzeremoniemeister. All totally Western words, given a bit of a Russian accent, is all into the Russian court. And intensified a trend earlier to build Western-looking palaces with Western architects and create a new Western capital to exemplify this, which he called Sankt Peterburg, or what became known as Sankt Peterburg, St. Petersburg, a very Western notion. In a way, you can see, you might say these are all external things. These are concerned with form. Peter, like many in the 18th century and late 17th century, believed, though, that external things affect what's inside you, that clothes, as it were, makes the man. And these clothes, these symbols, these surfaces were also meant to convey something, as well as to transform you within, to convey what sort of country Russia was supposed to be, a civilized one. And one can see all of this most clearly in Peter's greatest creation, the city of St. Petersburg, the capital he built on the northern swamps, taken in battle from Sweden. Unlike the old capital with its narrow, winding streets and churches and monasteries all in a very traditional style, Petersburg was in every respect a symbol of Western, secular power, order, and rationality. You can see it in the very layout of the city. Instead of winding streets, it's on a perfect grid, squares and triangles shape its pattern. And it's imposed on the worst possible surface for this, on a swamp with meandering streams. It was an imposition of order on nature itself. And one sees this city design in city other aspects of city design and architecture. One sees this same logic. Gardens were created in a European, orderly style, laid out in geometric rows. Churches should be built in a Baroque and neoclassical style, not churches such as the old Muscovite St. Basil's you see here, built in the time of Ivan IV, of Ivan the Terrible, which looked so Muscovite, like the brocaded robes itself. Churches should look European. These are surface changes, again, to be sure, but they're meant to show the world Russians were not savages. Russians were not bears, and to teach Russians to act in a more civilized manner. In other words, clearly, Peter the Great transformed the very shape of modern Russian life, as Russians themselves well understood. And I'd like you just for a moment to listen to words by a noted Russian intellectual, a man named Mikhail Pogodin, writing in the mid-19th century, and this is just portions of a rather long encomium to Peter the Great. "Yes, Peter the Great did much for Russia. We encounter him everywhere. We wake up. What day is it? January 1st, 1841. Ah, Peter the Great ordered us to count the years from the birth of Christ. Peter the Great ordered us to count the months from January. It's time to dress. Our clothing is made according to the fashion established by Peter the Great. A book strikes our eyes. Peter the Great introduced this script and himself cut out the letters. Newspapers are brought in. Peter the Great introduced them. You must buy different things. They all remind you of Peter the Great. Some he ordered. Others were brought into use or improved by him, carried on his ships, in his harbors, on his canals, on his roads. At dinner, all the courses, from salted herring through potatoes, which he ordered grown, to wine made from grapes, which he began to cultivate, will speak to you of Peter the Great. After dinner, you drive out for a visit. This is an assemblée of Peter the Great. You meet ladies there. They were admitted into masculine company by order of Peter the Great. You receive a rank according to Peter the Great's Table of Ranks, and you decide to travel abroad, following the example of Peter the Great, you'll be received well. For Peter the Great placed Russia among the European states and began to instill respect for her, and so on and so on and so on, he says. Of course, one can't forget other people prepared all of this for this process of westernization, but no one dared to act the way Peter did. Other people created a political system that enabled Russia to make these changes, but no one had ever used this power so boldly. Next time, we'll consider how Peter's successors handled this legacy, especially when it fell into the hands of a succession of empresses in the 18th century.